Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Tonight is Monday, May 16th. Happy to be here with you. A lot of you already here. We welcome you. Eddie, how are you? Good evening.
Doing good today. Feeling good. I'm very psyched. Well, you know, to be back and then doing the hockey show, Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Always a good place to be. And, even when the season's over, and unfortunately we have to talk about some sad news, but we're also going to be talking about some good news when we get to the Ranger prospects and what the Rangers may draft when our guest Russ Cohen comes on.
Yep.
Russ's got an XM radio show. He also heads a Sportsology website. And Russ also co-authored with Adam Rader the book 100 Ranger Greats. So it should be good, Jimmy. I'm ready to go.
Oh, that's great.
Thanks, Adam. So we'll have Russ here in, about 10 to 15 minutes or so. He should be here. And we'll talk to him. He was also he knew Derek Bougard pretty well. So we'll get his thoughts on that. And I said this on Facebook. I said it on Blue Shirt Banner today. I had no idea, Eddie, that Derek Bougard was so beloved by Minnesota fans. I knew he spent 5 years there, but I didn't realize just how attached he was to them. I guess I would say that Minnesota fans felt about Bougard kind of the way we feel about Ryan Callahan, maybe. Put him in that kind of in that category.
Yeah, I was amazed, too, because I wasn't really paying too much attention to it, but there didn't seem to be too much of a ruckus or, any hoopla surrounding him being signed to the Rangers, from the Minnesota fans, and I certainly had no idea that this man was involved behind the scenes with a lot of charities and the military, and all kinds of stuff that we never got to know about him, sometimes you discount the big men, the enforcers, and, we don't give them money. Plus, from a Rangers point of view, he kind of was in our doghouse right from the beginning. And as a player, he didn't win too many fights, so we don't really search more on players like that, but then you find out this guy's a real stellar human being, and it's just a shame. It really is. The Rangers, they had a guy like this, and Minnesota, yeah, they're just, they're all broken up about it, and they've done the right thing over there. I saw some of the pictures you posted on the banter, and they're really mourning the loss of Derek Bougard in Minnesota.
Yeah, they had a very nice memorial service for him yesterday at the XL Center in St. Paul. Derek's family was in attendance. There was a makeshift memorial with flowers and jerseys and things like that. And I kind of thought about this today. As Ranger fans, players that we've had on this show that we've talked to, and just amongst the fans, we always like to use the phrase "once a Ranger, always a Ranger." But after seeing what went on this weekend with Minnesota fans, I don't think it applies to Derek Bougard. We'll honor him in our own way as Ranger fans, but he was far too short and gone far too soon. He's just seeing the outpouring of love and affection that, that those people in Minnesota have for him and Wild fans had for him. You know, he's once a Wild, always a Wild, I think, in this case.
Oh, yeah. And you could tell, you know, even, in, like, you know, he's a guy that, you know, they're, you know, although they play in Minnesota, which is a big hockey town, they're kind of a small market team in a way. And he was so involved with the community there, and the outpouring for him was just unbelievable. Yeah, it's funny. Derek Bougard, we really, you know, we really never got to know him. And, you know, we just, you know, a lot of times we pay attention to what goes on ice and, you know, what the coaches says and all this stuff. But you find out they're you know, just a real superb human being, because a lot of these guys, they don't have to. They don't have to do charity work. I mean, you know, we see it with the Rangers. You know, they work with the Garden of Dreams, and I guess that goes hand in hand with being a Ranger. But I get the feeling, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but Derek Bougard was involved with these charities because he wanted to be.
Right.
Not out of any obligation or, you know, this is what the players on this team do. And so, you know, it's a sad thing. I mean, you know, it's a sad thing, but you know, he, you know, it's just, it's one of those tough. It really got to me after the news broke, probably the next day or the day after, and I started to realize even the Ranger fans who, you know, haven't really, you know, get to know Derek and how bad they felt. I can imagine what those Wild fans who know him pretty well felt when they heard the news, and you know, and what's happened after the news has come out, you know, with all the speculation. I don't know, maybe we'll get to Russ with that, because I have a few things to say about that. But so, yeah, we hardly knew you, Derek. I wish we would have known you a little bit more.
I wish we could have known him the way Wild fans know him, but unfortunately that'll never happen. Another one of the charities that he was very involved in is Defending the Blue Line, which is working with members of the military. And I know he was very involved with that, as is, I believe, Sean Avery. Derek had the Bougards, Bougardians. And like you said, he wasn't just involved in the charity of choice of the organization. He did a lot
right.
of stuff behind the scenes that quite frankly, we never knew of. And for that, we salute him. And you know, the world was a better place when he was here. You'll see we have a lot of guests tonight in the chat room, and those are probably mostly Minnesota Wild fans. We did extend an invitation to www.hockeywilderness.com, which is the SB Nation home of the Minnesota Wild. So hopefully some of them are checking us out. If that's you, welcome, enjoy yourselves, and hopefully you guys in the chat room will not don't be too rough on them tonight, okay? All right, so we got about just a few minutes before Russ should be joining us. We had you saw reactions from even the Ranger players. I saw a couple of tweets from Michael Delzato, and just devastated. Some of the guys that were closer to Bougard, like Gabrick, Callahan, guys like that, you know, they were pretty broken up about it. And like you said, we'll talk to Russ about it. And then a couple of the other things that went on this weekend surrounding Derek's death that I know you and I were kind of put off by, but that's the media. And somebody just posted, I didn't see who it was, somebody just posted in the chat room that Andrew Gross spoke to Chris Kreider, and I guess there were internet rumors regarding that Chris had decided to join the Rangers. Andrew Gross spoke to Kreider, and it is untrue. He will be returning to Boston College, and it's the decision to go back for his junior season is valid, quote unquote, as of now. So, who knows what will happen with Chris? Maybe we can talk to Russ about it.
Oh, we could call Chris.
Or we can call Chris, and then when he hangs up on us, we'll call Russ back. And
we won't hang. He's been on this show, Jim.
Simple radio, but he apparently banned from reappearing, according to
who knows if that's true.
Well, it came from Jess Rubenstein, and I wouldn't. I don't.
I trust Jess, but maybe the powers that be are away for the summer. We could sneak it. We could pull a sneaky.
Because I don't know if I told you that. So I'll tell you that story real quick. I think everybody will enjoy it. Jess called Boston College for an interview to get an interview with Chris Kreider, and they asked where he was from, and he said Blue Shirt Bulletin, which obviously could easily be confused with Blue Shirt Banner. And at first they told Jess no, and then Jess is like, I don't understand it. You know, we're a newsletter for the Rangers. We're partially credentialed by the team, blah, blah, blah. And then their reply to that was, oh, sorry, wrong organization. Okay, we'll get you the interview. So they love us. The Ranger organization, they love us, and they know it. Where would they be without us? Where would they be without us?
Well, listen, you know, we've talked about this before. A lot of times when you're too close to the team and you know people that are involved in management, and you kind of have to curtail what you're saying. Listen, I can speak for myself in saying that I'm not a reporter in any shape or fashion. I'm a fan, you know?
Right.
And I don't want to be limited in what I can say. You know, if I want to say the Rangers stunk the joint up and this guy's got to go and that guy's got to go and Larry Brooks is a cretin, I want to say that stuff without any kind of repercussions. I'm a fan. So there you have it. So, you know, listen, this show is wildly popular without those exclusive interviews.
Roy Pod, don't worry about it. We'll still be here to enjoy you.
And I want to say something to Roy. One day there will, I know we don't all believe it, but there will be a regime change. There'll be a PR guy in there who believes in the new media and what it has to offer, and a great website like Blue Shirt Banner and how much it covers the Rangers. Very rarely is there a bad word ever said on that website, and it's written by fans and Jim, you know, and they really promote the Rangers. So one day they'll realize that the new media, you got to wait for all these dinosaurs to die out or be replaced. So there goes, I'm off my soapbox as far as that goes.
Okay. Just waiting on Russ at this point. Just waiting for him to call in. I told him.
I got a lot of questions for Russ Cohen because I really have no answers. I don't know what. Frankly, folks, I'm going to tell you straight up, and you, Jim, I know nothing about this draft. I know nothing what the Rangers may look at. I'll tell you a quick story today before he comes in. My wife has got this hooky falooky kooky idea that we're gonna get in shape. Yeah, yes, you heard it here, right? The big man is gonna get in shape, so she signs me up for this health club, this LA Fitness. I call it LA Fatness. Right? Exactly. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right. I'm like, whatever. So she's like, well, she got a really good deal. Like, I mean, super deal for us, like $400 per year for her and me. So it's $800, which from what I hear is it's a really good deal. So I'm like, I know I'm off the track. I'm just stalling while I tell you this story.
All right.
So now, when Russ is on, just stop me, even if I don't get to the punchline. Anyway, then she's like, well, how about this personal trainer? Should we get a personal trainer? I'm like, a personal trainer? I need an animal trainer. I mean, you know, now I'm going to have to stop eating, and now I'm going to have to really work out. I was going to go to the pool. Anyway, I meet with the personal trainer today, and he does all my stats. He starts, taking my body fat, which was ridiculous. I don't even want to go into that. And he got the tape measure out, and he says, you know, your left bicep is a lot smaller than your right bicep. I said, well, that's where I do all my work on my right, with my right hand.
Well, because your right hand's always clicking the mouse and working the keyboard. Working a keyboard, it gets all the work.
Amongst amongst other things.
Yeah.
So.
But I digress.
But I digress. And so she's got me over dead. So I'm like, okay, let's leave. The guy goes, listen, I want to see you do some cardio. I'm cardio? Are you kidding me? I'm like, I'm going to have a heart attack. So he marches me up the stairs. Now I'm like, what is she trying to off me here? My wife is trying to get ready to sue her for ready to charge her with attempted murder. He put me on this thing, Jim.
Yeah.
This treadmill, right? Got a TV, everything. All the things I want to do when I'm not working out, I would watch. I would listen to music and watch TV. But I don't want to do either while I'm running or walking fast.
Right.
So it's like, I'm going to put you on this for 30 minutes. 30 minutes? I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't do anything for 30 minutes except sleep. You know? Got me on this thing for 30 minutes. I thought I was going to have an embolism or a thrombosis or something like that. I get off of it. I'm all dizzy because that thing just makes you wobbly. What a horrible time in L.A. fatness.
You ready for Russ?
Yeah, let's bring Russ on.
All right, without further ado, let's welcome back to the program one of the co-authors of 100 Ranger Greats. He's one of the editors of www.sportsology.com. He's on XM Radio. The man is everywhere, and he joins us once again, Russ Cohen. Russ, good evening. Jim and Eddie, how are you? Thanks for being here.
Jim, Ed, how are you? It sounded like I was listening to the Combine at first, and then when I listened a little closer, I realized I wasn't.
I would definitely fail the psychology part of the combine, but
he gets the combine plate. It's the,
yes,
the combination plate.
Two from A, one from B. Yeah.
So Russ, how are you doing? You doing good?
Good. Doing good.
All right. So
well, Russ, we were talking about at the top of the program about the outpouring of love and affection that we've seen from Minnesota Wild fans. We really didn't know that Derek was so beloved by fans of the Wild, and mm-hmm. really a whole another Derek Bougard has come out this weekend that we didn't really know existed. And I know you knew him kind of well, so maybe you can kind of clue us in. And we had a couple of questions for you along the way. And
well, you know what it is? You never know a player personally or anything, and you know, you may chat with them for a minute here, you look at what's going on there. But I knew before he came that the fans did love him over in Minnesota, and I got a gist when the Rangers did sign him that there were a lot of people there that were upset. And it's just, they seem to like their enforcers there, especially the good guys. They like Clutterbuck, it seems, in the same way now, maybe as a replacement. But the thing about Bougard is, he, besides all the charitable work he did, like a lot of enforcers, they have a job to do. And they know that's what got them into the league, and they go and they do it in a workmanlike way. And then after that, when they're off the ice, they're good guys. A lot of them are good guys. A lot of them are really good teammates. A lot of them are positive guys in the locker room. So I think for the New York fans, I think it was easy to sort of just look at the stat line and say, well, a goal and assist, something like 22 games, you know, not a big resume, but then you see the outpouring from his teammates and then you realize, yeah, you know, he was a factor on the team, because even though you didn't see him on the ice, he was still around day to day, especially when they were in New York, not when they were on the road. So he was a part of the team still, and the team really does miss him. And this is a guy that seemed like he wanted to rebound from last year. He had hired himself a trainer. He was getting excited. He started a website, you know, DerekBougard.com. I just showed the front page of it because that's all that shows now, but apparently was getting ready to unveil it. It says something on the front like having tilts since 1992 or something. So, mm-hmm. I mean, even he knew what his worth was in the NHL, and this was, and he took pride in it. So he probably didn't feel like he had the best of years last year. And I know at the end of the season he felt like, hey, he could do better next year. And he was really going to try and do that. And I think the Ranger fans have plugged into that. And I think that they realized, hey, you know what? This guy was not stealing money. Not at all. He got into an unfortunate situation where he did get a really bad concussion. And as we're finding out, there's all different grades, all different kinds, and even the most innocuous of hits. Like, I covered the Winter Classic and saw the Crosby hit, and there wasn't a big outcry in the press box. I got to tell you, it was sort of like, didn't seem like that big a deal. And then as the weeks went on, that seemed like, to me, that was the bigger deal than anything else that followed. Because
right,
that's sort of what started the chain of events. So you really, you know, when you see something like these head injuries, I can only speak from experience. I had a really bad head injury once from a zero car accident. I skid off the road. I think it was on the Southern State. And my car did a little bit of a 360, and the brakes dug into the grass, and I hit my head definitely on the back of the headrest, maybe even on the front a little bit on the dashboard. And I was done for a couple weeks. They hooked me up to the electronic EKGs, everything, some of the worst tests you could ever go through, and it was a really bad grade concussion. I don't remember the grade because I was too messed up. And I couldn't do much for those couple weeks, and I couldn't work. So how these guys even could walk around, it's amazing to me because I was barely doing that.
Right, right.
You know, so we have to sort of understand that when these guys get those kind of head injuries, I mean, they're super athletes compared to you and me and definitely Mouth. I mean, there's no question. No offense, of course.
Whoa.
But to the average...
There's that maniacal laugh.
Yep. But to the average guy. So I think... So that's why it is sort of amazing that in the old days when someone said they got their bell rung, that they could just keep getting their bell rung and keep playing, where now we're finding out, and maybe back then it wasn't even the same sort of collision. You know, because every time these guys get a head injury, it seems like it's a car crash. And nowadays players are bigger, there's more equipment, so it seems like the collision's even worse now than it probably was then, and that's probably a part of it too. But while I talk about that, we really don't know what the cause of his death is, and because they ran toxicology, it's going to take 2 weeks.
Right.
The one thing I was able to find out is, let's say for argument's sake, Jim, you killed Mouth, you shot him in the head, they know it's your gun, they're not going to run a toxicology for that. However, if Mouth turns up dead in his apartment with a shot in his head and they don't have anybody, they might consider it foul play, but they still might run a toxicology because they may want to see, hey, was Mouth drunk at the time that this
why
happened?
Why is the scenario always wind up with me dead?
Well, it just seems the most likely. But
Jesus.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding. But I'm just trying to illustrate that. So just because the toxicology was run, a lot of people sort of went off in different directions, and even writers started sort of assuming what might have gone on. And I really can't assume what's going on, because even if Derek Bougard was in the NHLPA program, where we don't have a definite, we just have sources, the sources won't say for what, and it's a big program, guys. I mean, you could go in there for anything, for alcohol dependency, pills, it could be mental issues. So again, it's a whole host of things. So while everybody always wants to think it's the worst, it may turn out to be something we're not even expecting, or it could turn out to be something congenital. Again, they run a toxicology, they might see that one of his organs wasn't working right, or, you know, and that's a part of it. So we don't know. So right now, I'm sort of in the mode of celebrating what was good about the guy with all the charitable work. I even reposted a game that I covered in early November. Now, the Rangers got killed in that game 4-1, but that game, to me, was probably when Bougard was at his height for the Rangers as far as his fighting ability. And he knocked down Jody Shelley. It looked like, and I put up the link on my Facebook page the other day, and it looked like he did it in four punches. And what had sort of caught me that day was the fact that Shelley, maybe 4 years ago, was sort of like the heavyweight champ after LaRocque, in the Western Conference, and for Bugard to make such quick work of them was sort of impressive. And then later they had a chance to possibly go a second time, and Shelley sort of didn't drop the gloves, and Bugard got the penalty. And you know, in retrospect, you could see why. He didn't want to get hit by a 6'7" guy anymore. And I did write that in the article because it struck me. There's not a lot of times where those guys, especially when a team is winning, will turn down the opportunity, but he did. So it just showed what other guys thought of him too, and he was a feared guy around the league. But again, the minute his job is done, he was a good guy, and he spoke to everybody, and I've seen him at practice, and I've seen him, you know, laughing a lot, and that's, you know, that's just the kind of guy he was. So I think it's just one of those things where we're going to look at him, and I hope even after the toxicology comes out that people could just sort of digest it and say, hey, you know what? It was tragic. I even said to Adam Rader, I was talking to him the other day, and I said, 28. Boy, had my life ended at 28, what wouldn't have taken place? I still would have been married because I've been married 100 years at this point. I'm married 23 years. But I still would have been married, but clearly, you know, book never would have come out, never would have had a website. You guys wouldn't know me. I know that would be a very sad day. Mouth wouldn't have been able to make fun of me for all the draft picks that I think the Rangers should have had or don't think they should have had. But you know,
oh, that's great.
but if you think about it, it's really – it makes it really tragic, and it's just too young.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. Yeah, Russ, you know, I'm a reactionary. You're more of a calm, cool, collected type. That's why you're making money at this business, and I'm stuck with Jim. But I got to ask you a question that just really put a burr under my saddle, so to speak. And I'll go with you and the calm, cool, collected person, and then I'll react to this. The whole Larry Brooks article where he kind of let the I guess the cat out of the bag, or released that Derek was involved in the NHL substance abuse program. What's your feeling or comments on that? And then I'll have a go at it.
Yeah, my comments are I didn't like it. I actually, Adam even posted on a Ranger Greats page today a nice Larry Brooks article on Derek Bugard, and my feeling was, too little, too late. I had seen two other articles in the Post that all seemed to just, again, turn to the suspicious side. And, yeah, he's a good guy, but. Yeah, he was a good guy, but. And this, but. And I really didn't like that. And then that's why I put up a post from Michael Russo's articles, who, you know, was friends with Bugard. He worked with him. You know, he was covering the Wild. He's still covering the Wild when Derek spent all that time over there. And you could just see a whole different scenario in how these articles are written now. Larry's always going to write a tougher article on something like that, but certainly this is a closer situation for Russo. But in the end, they're both doing the same job, and they did it in two completely different ways. And I just liked the one way, the Russo way, so much better than the Brooks way. And that really turned me off. And I just don't like it because it's unfair. His family, he's got a brother. His brother played hockey. All you know, these folks are all affected, and it just
right.
It rubbed me the wrong way. It did.
Well,
all right.
Now
I'm gonna. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
Well, I just want to say that the article he wrote today almost seemed like almost about as close as you'd get to an apology. Like he was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, even though I put it out there 2 days ago that he was in whatever, you know, counseling, you know, he was really a good guy, even though he went to counseling. I mean, he
mm-hmm.
actually says that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the first line of the, doesn't diminish the fact that, you know, he did this or whatever. And I just thought, why, that could have waited until after the autopsy, and then
mm-hmm.
you can say, because now all he did was people all weekend, well, do you think he OD'd? Do you think he had was he drinking?
That's right.
And there was no reason for it.
Now I'm gonna amp it up a little bit. What I thought he did was absolutely disgusting. the fact that he had to go there, I mean, without any, like, it was so early on the speculation on what happened. And again, it's all speculation. And the fact that he had to put it out there in the wind, and it's funny because people associate me with the Rangers. So, of course, people were like coming up to me that I know, you know, outside the hockey lexicon saying, oh, I heard about that Ranger who died. He was on drugs. Or, you know, they say it was drugs. And I'm like, well, they really don't know anything yet. You know, let's not. But this guy is supposed to be a reporter. He's supposed to be a human being. And mm-hmm. the fact that he comes out and besmirches a guy before he's really cold in the grave, and it's not about that. It's just not about that. It's just, I don't understand. You know, I don't think it sells newspapers. I don't think, you know, to me, Larry Brooks comes off as a total cretin on this, and I think he's doing some backpedaling and some damage control now. I don't think a guy, this guy, he just doesn't get it. He doesn't get the humankind. I mean, I don't know the guy personally, but, you know, his track record isn't that great. He's just he comes off as a miserable human being. That's what I got to say about the subject. Wow, I shut you two up.
Well, I was waiting for Russ, but Russ is doing the Adam Rader pregnant pause, so I don't think he wants to say anything.
Chime in there, Jim.
The only thing I could say to add to it is, sure, I've spoken to Larry. He's not a miserable human being, but I think when he's writing, he seems different than when you're talking to him. That's what I'll add.
I don't get it. Is it some kind of persona that he's trying to put out there, that he's the guy who'll ask the hard questions? He will always keep the gas pedal, you know, the accelerator on the brake as far as, you know.
I'm not that kind of reporter, it's hard for me to say.
Right.
And that's the thing. I don't want to be that guy, to be honest.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Eddie, I agree with you. I just didn't think it was necessary. I think we all agree on that. It could have waited 2 weeks or however long. It didn't help anybody's situation. It just didn't help. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yep.
Russ, we just saw Andrew Gross put up a little while ago that he spoke to Chris Kreider, and apparently Kreider is still committed to going back to BC. I guess there were mm-hmm. some rumors today that he might sign with the Rangers. We've had a couple of different opinions on Kreider. What's your opinion on Kreider? Should he stay in school, or do you think he should come out?
I think he should come out. I think he could really have a good camp and have a good showing. But, you know, a lot of guys, when they commit to a big program like that, want to give it as long as they can give it, and there's a lot of reasons for that. A, it's comfortable. B, you're the big man on campus. So those things are always great. And it's not like he's not up for a challenge. When you play in a program like that, you are still being challenged. So it's not going to hurt his hockey skills, but it will hurt in the fact that he could be playing more games at a pro level. That's the difference, because in college you just don't get to play enough games. So I was a little surprised. I thought maybe he didn't have anything else to prove. He looked great in the World Juniors. After that, he had a broken jaw, so when you saw him playing, you know, late in the season, was a different guy. Now, I still thought he played well in the World Championships, so maybe the jaw was starting to get better, and I saw a lot of good things. And I know he's going to be a terrific player. Hey, one more year in college, you know, it's his decision. I was surprised, though.
Now, see, your answer surprised me. I really thought you'd say, no, he's better off staying in school. Because you usually seem to, with your opinions, you usually seem to lean towards the more patient.
I do.
The more patient, you know, being patient with players, with, you know, with
mm-hmm.
everything. So
mm-hmm.
I'm surprised. So if you, there must be something to it if you're saying Kreider should come out.
Yeah, I just, and you're right. Normally I do fall on the other side, but with him, that's the way I've felt this year. And definitely the World Championships made me think that even more. Made me even think to the point where I thought the Rangers should look at trying to trade for Blake Wheeler if he was going to come out, because they were a tremendous tandem in the World Championships. Granted, not the exactly NHL competition they're facing, but close.
Now, as long as go ahead, Eddie.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you know, we did get to talk to Kreider a couple of years ago, and he really gave me the impression that he's really into the academic side.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think, I mean, are there players that are still around that would rather, you know, get the college degree than turn pro?
No question. I mean, Colin Wilson, he comes to mind. James Van Riemsdyk didn't come out all that early. He comes to mind. So there are plenty of guys that actually – well, hockey does have a way better graduation rate than the NBA, you know, than college basketball. It's not even close.
Wow.
And there are a lot of programs like Michigan.
That's
like
a shocker.
That really surprises me.
I know. But there are a lot of programs like Michigan and BC and a lot of schools that are big-time programs but also really push the academics. But also it's also the commitment. And it's hard for us to say you should do this or you should do that because a lot of times when these guys commit, they are very deep in their commitment and it's very hard to get them to break it. And I know that may sound even cliche, but to them it's not. And to them it really means something. So that's another thing that plays into it.
And, okay. And do you feel that, you know, a lot of times with these prospects that do stay and do kind of, you know, look, I think you hit on a good point about Chris Kreider probably, you know, he's got nothing else to prove in college. Do you think maybe his game can get stale playing these extra games and his development hindered without, you know, not getting to play at the next level?
If he were at a lesser school, I'd be worried. At that kind of program, no, because they always have big games, big challenges. They have a big coach. So I don't think it's going to happen to him, but I've definitely seen it happen to other players.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned some other guys, Colin Wilson, who was Carrie Wilson's son. Did he play at Dartmouth also?
No, he was Boston University. He won a Frozen Four. He was actually a big reason when they won in Washington. I covered that one. It was great. And he's turning into a pretty good NHLer, too. So, you know, they're definitely more good than bad. But there are some guys that when you go to a program like, let's say, Michigan, they're not very offensively minded. And then all of a sudden they come out and then they're really offensively challenged, some of these guys. That won't be the case with Kreider. Probably the biggest case with Kreider will be having to get over the barrier of playing more than the 40-something games you play in college.
Are you surprised at the amount of games that Derek Stepan and Ryan McDonough have played this year, I mean, including the World Championships? Don't you think that's an awful lot of hockey to cram into your rookie year?
It's an awful lot, but I think they got past hitting the wall during the season. So the fact that they're young guys, I don't think it's going to hurt them. And I think the camaraderie, the extra games, the extra experiences are good for them. But there's a time in the season where they clearly hit the wall for a short time. And once you get past that, then it's really not as big a deal. And let's face it, like I said, they're pretty young guys. So I'm not worried about that.
Since we're talking about Kreider, we might as well talk about the second round pick from 2009, Ethan Werrick. He was traded last week. Russ, can you make sense of this trade for us? Because we haven't been able to yet.
No, there's really no sense that I can make to it. You know, you could talk to different people and they can tell you that Ethan Werrick, you know, he had some injuries, he had some issues with the team. He wasn't getting along with people in Kingston, so that was strained. My answer is, go look at a guy like Kirill Kabanov, who had the same situation. He walked away from a team. They said, oh, it's going to kill this kid, blah, blah, blah. The Islanders get him, you know, yada, yada, yada. He had a great playoffs this year. So I look at Ethan Werrick as a better talent than what they got back. And I saw the other guy in the World Juniors, and, you know, Lindbergh's a decent player. I just think you traded a guy with more toughness and definitely more offensive upside than what you got back. I think what you got back is a guy that's going to play in the NHL, but I think the difference is maybe you traded and you got back a Lauri Korikov's Korpikovsky, and instead you gave away, you know, a Brandon Dubinsky or better. I think ultimately, I think that's what you're sort of looking at, is some sort of equation like that. Don't know why they made it. Don't understand it. Even if these issues were going on at juniors, he's ready to turn pro. So what's the difference? He's going to look
right.
Juniors. He's going to look at juniors in the rearview mirror anyhow.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, it's very puzzling. I mean, you know, I know that when we had Jess Rubenstein on, he was talking about that some of the injuries that Ethan had were, you know, he didn't report to the Rangers doctors and at first. And but really, these are young kids. I mean, you know, is this such a small margin for error that you're going to be traded? I mean, can the Rangers... you know, they can ill afford to trade their second round pick for a guy that's good on faceoffs. I mean, I don't, and you know, you have Ethan on. We know we had him on the show, and he's saying how much he dreams of being a Ranger, and he really gave me, you know, and I don't know. It just seems like it was a trade for the sake of making a trade. I don't know. There has to be an underlying issue, because can you really make trades at? But these guys' ages, you know, I mean,
you can, and you're gambling
right.
with that. There's no question, because even as we talk about it, we're just hypothesizing about what they might do. But the idea is, when you have two teams that trade so often, you know, then there's the worry that, well, these guys are trading way too often. So maybe if they didn't like the way one trade turned out, they decide they'll make another one. And, hey, you didn't like this one, but we'll do this one, you know. That's the only answer
right,
I can come up with.
Yeah. No, that's a good way of thinking of it. I didn't really think about that. You know, somebody paying back somebody for an earlier trade that really just didn't go, you know, wasn't mutually beneficial for both teams.
I mean, Phoenix took on a big contract from Michael Roosevelt.
Right. Yeah. But I just can't see all you invest in, you know, last year at the draft, while you and Jim were at the draft, you know, they have him out for the viewing party. He's meeting all the fans. He's all happy.
Yep.
He's, you know, I'm Facebook friends with him, and he's saying, you know, I can't wait to get to New York, and they hit him with this. It just doesn't make sense. And I know it's, you know, a lot of fans will say, oh, Ethan Werrick, big deal. But, you know, with this whole, you know, youth movement kind of thing they're trying to, you know, tell us that they're doing, by trading a second-round pick for a guy that I just don't think is of equal value. I think that's sending a mixed message as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. And guys, I got to give you a five-minute warning, because then I got to head out. But I know you wanted to talk about this year's draft a little, and I put out a mock, and I know you guys always want to say. Now, the mock just basically is who I think the Rangers are going to take. And this has become increasingly hard over the years, especially after the Dylan McElrath pick last year. So now for me to try, because again, just because I put the guy in this spot doesn't mean that I think he's really deserving of that spot, but I think he's close. And I put Nick Jensen there, and he's a 6'3 winger. He plays with the same team Christian Thomas does. He plays in Oshawa, and he's really got a lot of great skills. He has size, he has skills, and I just think skills are sort of the buzzword that are the Rangers are looking for now, because they seem to be looking for a lot of skilled players. They've been getting more European players over time, and I think that's something that they've become enamored with. There might be some other guys down below, like a
Nick
guy
Jensen,
named Mark.
You said?
Yeah, Nick Jensen.
Okay, sorry, I'm looking him up.
No, look him up. He had a really good playoffs, 11 points in 10 games.
The Green Bay Gamblers of the USHL, is that the same guy?
I believe so.
Right. Okay, so, this is 2 years old. Okay, that's why he's only 6'1".
What position are the Rangers picking in?
They're 15th.
Okay.
Right in the middle. And, you know, again, and I only put winger because he might be a left winger doesn't mean he's not going to end up as a right winger. We've seen what the Rangers sort of do with that. So I'm not even going to tell you where he's going to possibly end up. But I think this is a guy they're going to give serious consideration to. Another kid that I really like, who I don't know if they would take in that spot, would be Mark McNeil. He is a local Edmonton kid, and I have him right now going to the Oilers, but if the Rangers picked him 15th, I would not be surprised. 6'2", 210 center, 81 points in 70 games. He eclipsed what he was able to do in any other previous year in juniors. But the big thing for him, and he had 5 points in 6 playoff games, so he had a good playoffs, but he really is a good face-off guy too. He has toughness. He'll drop the gloves. So he seems to be the complete package, plus he can win face-offs. And down the road, I think that's something the Rangers are going to need. We know that Kreider's not a great face-off guy. So somewhere down the line, they're going to have to get somebody that's going to be able to do face-offs other than Oscar Lindbergh. And I think this could be a guy. So he's another one who I would give serious consideration to if I were the Rangers. But I think they are going to go with a guy like Nick Jensen or maybe even Sven Barshi, who plays for the Portland Winterhawks. Jess has been pumping him. He could even go higher, but if he were there, I think the Rangers would give him serious consideration. He's a left winger. He's got real good hands, real good speed, can really stretch the ice for his teammates. He really makes a lot of things happen. 27 points in 21 playoff games is pretty dynamic. So I think, and he's a Swiss guy. I think that's another one where there's a good possibility that the Rangers might grab him.
Russ, the guys in the chat room want to know where your mock draft is. Where can we find it?
Oh, sportsology.info. I just posted 16 to 20, but if you just search, put in mock draft, they're all up there. I've been sort of breaking them up, and people could check them out. They could tell me I don't know anything. Malf certainly did that when you guys had me on a couple of years ago, and he's turned it around, and I appreciate it, but he doesn't have to. He's a good guy that way.
No, listen, you invited me to one of your summer soirees, and now there's peace between us. I don't...
Entente. I love it.
I was going to say, if they check out the Sportsology page, they can see we were even having a little 100 Ranger Greats Q&A over at the Memorial Cup, which should be fun.
Okay, that's what, in Mississauga? Is that
in Mississauga, yep. In
okay.
Ontario, yeah.
Okay, so that's Friday, May 20th from 4 to 4:30
yep.
is Fan Fest, and book sales are from 4:30 to 6.
Yep.
And then on Saturday, May 21st, the Fan Fest is from 11 to 11:30, book sales from 11:30 to 1. And then on Sunday, the 22nd, Fan Fest from 11 a.m. to 11:30, book sales from 11:30 to 1 p.m.
Yep.
Sounds all right.
And Russ, before you go, just one last question coming from the chat room. You know, we like to oblige the chatters.
Sure.
They want to know your take about acquiring Brad Richards.
Well, my take would be this. I know that his number one choice would be to go back to Dallas, but we don't know if ownership is totally vetted out as far as knowing how much they could spend for next year and if they could retain him. The one thing I worry about Brad Richards is he's not always been a spotlight guy. Even when he was winning a Stanley Cup in Tampa, he wasn't that spotlight guy. I saw him come out after the Cup, and he was great with the fans, and he had his own fan club, and they loved him, but he was sort of like an aw shucks guy where, you know, LeCavier and St. Louis were sort of sucking up the spotlight. So that's the one thing I worry about. I would just say if he becomes a Ranger, he definitely would be effective. You can't ignore those skills, but I might lop off 15 points off his best season and say that's probably what his output would be as a Ranger because of the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, Ross,
guys,
thank you.
Appreciate
you
coming
it,
Jim, so Ed, always.
Yes, always a pleasure, my friend.
Hopefully we'll talk to you again when we get closer to the draft.
Anytime. Give me a holler. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Take care.
See ya.
Good night. All right. The great Russ Cohen.
Yes.
I was really, he really did surprise me in his opinion on Kreider. He's always the one that says, no, you know, keep the guy in the AHL, let him get a little more, you know, seasoned. But here he threw me for a loop on Kreider.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, I think Glenn Sather is really putting the pressure on to get him here because they need offense so bad. And I know Sather is really, really big on Kreider. This is speed.
Yeah.
And now, he said Kreider isn't good on faceoffs. Now, haven't we heard from other people that he's a winger and not a center?
He is a winger, yeah.
I
think he can play center, but I think he's a true winger, if I understand it correctly.
Okay.
So. Now, who knows? Rangers may turn him into a stay-at-home defenseman.
Rock said they should draft more defensemen.
Why not?
Maybe offensive defensemen. We use one of those.
You got to draft a scorer. They got to draft a guy that could score at the NHL level.
They got to get
stockpiling these defensemen and stockpiling forwards that we think could score. I mean, they got to go. We haven't drafted a guy that's a bona fide scorer since Kovalev? No. Kovalev? Amante?
Yeah, Bernardo? Bernardo.
Sandstrom? How long ago did they draft Kovalev? What was that, 92?
He came out of Russia in, I think, 1990, 91, I think.
Yeah, something like that. So,
I'll never forget the back of the New York Post. It said, "The Russian Gretzky is here."
Ha!
Big picture of Alex on the back. I was like, "We got the Russian Gretzky!"
Right.
And I was like, wow, I should have kept that. Yeah, they didn't mention that we got the Russian Keith Gretzky. I'm only kidding. Alex was good for the Rangers in that playoffs, man. He was awesome in those 94 Cup run.
Yes, he was.
He surely was. And I'll never. He's got lifetime amnesty as far as I'm concerned. You know, I was thinking about, the Preds made a pretty good run in the playoffs. And, you know, we got to give them their due. Strong goaltending. They play a defensive system. Now, I would try to make the comparison that the Rangers may be similar to the Preds, but except for the two defensemen they have on the back line, which Shea Weber is, and, you know, he's a Norris Trophy candidate. Terrific offensive player both ways. Also, Ryan Suter. And I was thinking, can the Rangers aspire to that? Could they be good? Go as far as Nashville in the playoffs if they just had some that power play going, was where we had puck moving defensemen. I really think they're hindered by that. Obviously, they're offensively challenged. So I was kind of thinking of that, and then my second, I guess, thought between shows was, can John Tortorella actually metamorphosize this team? When it does get the offensive talent, will he be able to coach the team, or is he so set in his ways about everybody being defensively responsible? Because with offense comes, a little bit of creativity and players not, always picking up their back checks and stuff like that. So I pose those two questions to you and our illustrious listeners in the chat room, which there are many, the proud. So what do you think, Jim?
We said it after they were eliminated. They won for, I forget what it was, I think it was 1-17, 1-18 on the power play. If they go 4-19, it might have made all the difference in the series. And I still think, I still stick to, he's got to have them be defensively responsible because they're just that bad on offense right now. He's got one alleged top six forward. And I'll tell you what, and then I got some real quick, I'll throw this out there. And then I got something else that I just saw came up. You're going to like this one, or you're not going to like it. Did you see this report that the Blue Jackets lost $25 million last season? And they've lost $80 million over the last 6 years. That team's dying. You're right. You said it a year and a half ago. But I'll tell you what. If I'm the Rangers, I'm on the phone with them every day. What does it take to let me get that $8 million contract off your hands?
Yeah.
What do we
I'd be working on that. I'd be working the phones right now after that report came out. What do we got to do to get Rick Nash in a Ranger uniform?
Right, like a car dealer. What could I do to put you in this Rick Nash today, sir? Listen to this. This story just came up on Pro Hockey Talk on NBC Sports. George Larocque of the Canadiens blasted the Ranger organization on NHL home ice today. Did you hear about this?
No.
He said Bougard was cleared to play at the end of the season, and the team just told him to take the rest of the year off. You know how much pressure that puts on a guy? He was ready to play with the contract he had, and the team said, it's okay, just take the rest of the year off. On top of that, he told me his coach was not a big fan of him. I don't want to insinuate anything that happened and the cause of his death or whatever, but I would have been frustrated if I was in that situation. The fact that he was inactive for so long and those two incidents happened, it clearly didn't help him. That's a hefty argument. This is the writer, Joe. This is Joe Yerden, who actually used to be a part of SB Nation. That's a hefty accusation towards the Rangers, who signed Bougard to a four-year, $6.6 million contract. If Bougard was indeed healthy and eligible to return, the Rangers telling him to stay home makes the signing all the more questionable. As for why the Rangers may have sent him home, Larocque says that Tortorella did not think much of Bougard as a contributor on the team. He told me John didn't really like him as a player, Larocque said. I don't know what John thought or what he said. All I know is that Derek told me he was cleared to play, to come back, that he wanted to play, and the team told him to take the rest of the year off to get ready for next year. He didn't tell me who told him that. He just told me the team said that.
I mean, yeah, that certainly, well, we know for a fact that John Tortorella was asked, I guess with like 25 games to go, you know, maybe 30, that Derek Bougard wasn't even on his radar. And you always got the feeling that, you know, because, you know, and, you know, I don't want to speak ill of that, but Derek didn't come in the best of shape into a Tortorella camp where you know you're going to get worked.
Right.
And he had to lose all that weight, and he did it. And you know, I never got the feeling, and this speaks to the Rangers organization in general, that it was a guy that Sather wanted.
Right.
For his idiotic reason of, well, he'll help clear the crease.
Right.
With Henrik Lundqvist, right? And the coach, who obviously knew that wasn't going to be the case and didn't want to – he wants a guy who can fight like Brandon Prust and play the game. He doesn't want – you know, and again, he's a one-dimensional hockey player. He's out there to make sure things don't happen, and when they do, to correct them. That was Derek's job when he played in the NHL. So I don't think – Tortorella liked him for that reason. I don't think it was a personal reason. It's just the fact that the guy is completely one-dimensional and a situational player against certain teams.
Right.
And, you know, so that has to be taxing on a player who loves hockey. And, you know, listen, you have an ego. You're a professional. And to be just said, like, we don't need you. Just go home. I mean, that's pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? George Larocque is a Montreal Canadian. Just shut up. When we want your Canadian opinion, we'll ask for it.
Well, you know what, though? You know, the enforcers, they have a club, and that club is tight-knit. They all know each other, and they all communicate with each other. And I think that's what he was speaking from.
Good for them, good for their club. But you know what? Derek Bougard's not here anymore to say whether that's true or not. You know you're not going to get a straight answer out of the Rangers. What are the Rangers going to say? Of course it's untrue. So it's just stupid. You know what? Go worry about Scott Gomez. Go worry about P.K. Subban.
P.K. Slewfoot?
Yeah, exactly. Let us worry. We'll worry about the Rangers, George. Don't worry. We got it.
Wow.
Ah, shut the hell up.
Thank you. Exactly.
I
know there's an enforcers club, there's a creed, there's a gentleman's thing, that whole bit that goes on. He shut up. He
might be just upset because he lost a friend or somebody he know. You know? Hey, listen, I hate the Canadians as much as you do. You know? Remember, I was going toe to toe with them at Madison Square Garden when they invaded.
That's
the
right.
Invasion. I told him, sit down, Chuckles. We, you see that guy over there, Ryan McDonough? We got him for Scott Gomez. yes. So, Le Habitant, La Rock, shut up. Okay, I'm with you now. Speaking of which, is there some kind of winter classic going on?
Oh, we haven't talked about that, have we?
You know, I'm so out of the loop.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on with him? I mean, with this thing.
Well, apparently on Monday, January 2nd, the Rangers will play the Flyers in the Winter Classic at Citizens Bank Park, the home of the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, everybody's saying, well, why has it got to be in Philly? Well, they can't have it. Everybody wants it at Yankee Stadium, but it can't be at Yankee Stadium because they have a college bowl game. They're committed to a college bowl game there for the next till the end of 2013. And I'm sure that whatever they're getting for that college bowl game is more than they'll get from the NHL for the Winter Classic. So that's the end of that. Okay, so the next question is, well, why can't they have it at Citi Field? Well, they could have it at Citi Field, but even as a Met fan, I can tell you that having a game at Citi Field doesn't have the same pizzazz as having it at Yankee Stadium, even if it's not the Yankee Stadium. If Shea Stadium was still around, well, then I think you could make a case. I mean, you know, Shea Stadium, you know, it's got a lot of history, even outside the Mets. I mean, it's the only stadium that, I mean, the Jets played there, the Giants played there, the Yankees played there, the Mets played there, the Beatles played. There's a lot of history in that stadium. So if Shea was still around, you could make the argument, okay, we could play it there. As to why they don't want to play it in the new Meadowlands, well, they can't play it at the new Meadowlands because it's right around New Year's Day, and the stadium will be being used for, you know, still be being used by the Giants and Jets. And then the other answer to the question as to why it's not on New Year's Day is because the Eagles are home on New Year's Day against the Redskins. And NBC is undoubtedly hoping that that game gets flex scheduled to the nighttime, and they don't want to create a scheduling nightmare, so they're going to play the hockey game on Monday.
Okay. So I have all my answers now. Is this official? Rock asked if it was official, and if he's asking if it's official, I'm worried if it's official.
No, it's been reported everywhere and confirmed to apparently NHL sources confirmed it to
the
Philly media and the New York media. Now, I don't know about those jerseys. You're talking about the ones that popped up on Facebook?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if those are real. Usually they don't. They debut the jerseys when they do the official announcement, if I'm not mistaken. You know, they'll do a press conference in Citizens Bank Park, whatever it's called, and they'll bring a couple of players out from each team, and they'll be wearing. I think that's what they do. Those jerseys, I mean, I don't know if that's a fan's rendition or what. The Rangers one, to me, looks like the old New York Americans jersey, doesn't it? They look very similar.
Yes, yes. I like that jersey that's been floating around for the Rangers. I haven't looked at the filthy one yet. I mean, the Philly one yet. But now, I'm excited about this. I'm also a little bit worried because when we invade there.
Now, wait, you're excited? You were Mr. Who Cares when it came to the Winter Classic. Now you're excited?
I was?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
All the tape. Oh, I forgot. We don't have a producer.
Well, you know.
Get Charlie Ashley Spumante back here.
Yeah, really. We need Charlie back in the mix. I may have poo-pooed it when I thought it wasn't going to happen.
Oh, you poo-pooed.
Okay. But now that it's going to happen, and, you know, I'm a little excited, you know, because, you know, I want to invade their territory. I want to mix it up with them. It'll be funny just to see the fights and the drunkenness that'll be going on in that town. It could be a real raucous time, and I am certainly going to go. I mean, there's just no way I'm going to miss that. And but we also have, you know, where John Tortorella said you're not getting. I mean, Bettman said to Tortorella, if you're not going to do that 24/7 show, you're not going to be into Winter Classic. So apparently, John Tortorella must have said, "I will do the show."
Well, I don't think he could. I don't think he can turn it down.
Well, he doesn't want the cameras in the locker room.
Well,
he doesn't. Everything's a secret over there, Jim. You know it. They have the secret recipe for winning. You will never get access to those keys. We've said it before. It's like the Kremlin. It's like the Iron Curtain. Nothing can be said. Because you really, you know, you don't want your team, you know, the secret to getting ousted in the first round cannot get out. It just cannot see the light of day. So,
it's like special sauce, the original recipe at KFC, you know, the ingredients, the Dr. Pepper.
The and then, now, you saw in the last one where they were like, you know, you saw the GMs. Imagine now you get to see Sather. Do you think Glenn Sather is even going to be on that? He's probably going to think,
Hey, I think he'll be as far away from that as he possibly can.
It'll be like... you know, he'll probably be on Banff on vacation celebrating the New Year.
You know, it'll be like, you'll hear like the narrator say something like, and after the Rangers beat the Bruins tonight 3-2 at Madison Square Garden, we went to Glenn Sather's office to talk to the general manager and get his thoughts. And then it'll be like Get Smart, you know. Dun, 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 dun. They got to go through the doors that open. Then they got to go through this door that opens. Dun, 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 dun. Then they all got to drop down the phone booth. Dun, 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 dun. Then they go to what did they call that? The Cone of Silence?
Cone of Silence. That's where all Ranger affairs are discussed.
The cone of silence.
you're right. Glenn Sather will never be on camera.
Oh, Magoo, you got it again.
it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Sean Avery, there'll be some interesting characters on that show. Sean Avery, for sure. I think he'll be at a loss for words. So I think it's good. You know, it's a good thing. Finally, we get our due. You know, a lot of Ranger fans have been crying about that, you know. You know, they really wanted, they felt like we were being passed over. You know, we're kind of getting Fredo'd out of the whole thing, you know. I'm smart. I can do things. You know, we were kind of like Fredo with the Winter Classic. And I was passed over. I'm the oldest. I think it's a good thing. And all my poo-pooing is out the window, so to speak, on that.
Here it is.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
You broke my heart, Fredo.
You broke my heart. Well, that'll be afterwards. So,
all right. You ready to get some, you ready to take some calls?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. Let's go to, all right. He's been waiting the longest. Robbie, what's going on, buddy?
Doing good. How you guys doing?
I'm doing all right.
Caller number two, introduce yourself to the public. Well, I'm actually doing all right. I just, you know, obviously, you know, pool guard and everything, that was so sudden. That's the only thing that's been really upsetting to me. But other than that, I'm good, so, you know. But at least the good news is we're going to be in the Winter Classic finally after all these years. So I guess that's one positive thing that happened. So, you know, that's good.
But it's against your most hated team.
What?
It's against your most hated team.
Yes, and it's bad enough. If it was at Citi Field, I would have definitely gone to it, too. That's the thing, though. That's frustrating to me. I would have gone to that. I would have sat in the cold. And it's bad enough I could watch the Mets lose the season.
It's like they say on Seinfeld. It's got no cachet.
Neither does Yankee Stadium. It was the old one then, yes. But, I mean, they tried that before.
Yankee Stadium is still Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, it's
the name. The name.
Fuck the Yankees. I can't stand them.
All right. I'm just telling you.
I know. I'm sorry to the Yankees fans that are in the chat room. I'm sorry. I do not like them. So, you know, I'm in my baseball mode. But, yeah. Ugh. But the thing, actually, it comes down to this with Bogaerts. The thing that bothers me, really, was that there was obviously some fans that thought that, you know, his contract was a little bit too long and that he was a little bit being overpaid. And he received a lot of criticism, and, you know, some fans booed him, and obviously they criticized Fraser for signing him. And then that kind of, deep down inside, that kind of, myself included, I thought it was a waste of the signing. And, you know, obviously we couldn't have known that he was going to pass away. But so that really bothers me beforehand. You know, he didn't really get, you know, positive, you know, feed from the fans, with the exception of doing charity work outside of the, as off the ice, so. Like I had, like you posted on the Blue Shirt banner, I had absolutely no idea how much he was beloved over there with the Wild in Minnesota. No idea. I read about it.
We criticized the signing. That was the Rangers' mistake. And we were critical of his fighting when he fought. You know, but you never wish ill will. Towards anybody.
I've never wished death on whether it's in any sport, Carcillo, Brodeur, A-Rod,
right.
Tom Brady. I never wished death on anyone in all my sports teams, but you know, I hate them, I have to say, but you know, obviously, but that's what really bothers me, you know, the most is that some fans, he received a little bit of criticism and now he's, you know, I feel so bad for his family too, which is really tragic, but obviously. But, well, what can you do? It's just, that's pretty much it now. There's nothing you can do about it. So.
This is true, Robbie.
Yeah. But,
all right. Anything else, buddy?
Anything else? Here. I'm actually going to go right now. Here we go. The Mets are beating them all. It's 1-0 in the top of the fifth at Citi Field. Just give you a little heads up there. They're actually doing much better. And do you know what I think the Rangers need more than anything for next year?
What's that?
A 50-goal scorer.
Ice girls.
That's it.
Yeah, nothing's going up.
We don't need ice girls. We need people that can score. Who cares if we have ice girls? I don't care.
Erica Christensen. He's an ice girl. We got ice girls playing on a team.
Oh.
Ice girls. I think he did that on purpose to get blown up.
I think he wanted it.
Yeah, he was looking for it. Both of us hit the boom button at the same time. That's why it was delayed.
I had an itchy boom finger.
Oh, boy. Oh, I wanted to ask you guys, do you guys know about, do you know, Jim, what's with the Islanders in this new stadium? What's happening with that? The new arena, rather. I know this is an Islander talk, but anytime.
You know what? I just kept saw a couple of headlines. I didn't read too much into it. Apparently, they've come up with a way to build a new arena, and it's not going to cost the public anything. And whatever anybody says, it's not going to cost the public anything. You know what? It costs the public everything. When they build it, and they're actually playing in it, I'll believe it. But I don't understand. They're still going to have the same 4,000 people showing up for games in the new arena. Are you going to tell me that Islander fans aren't going to the games because the arena sucks? Come on.
Right. It'll be a novelty the first year, and then it'll be business.
If God forbid okay, let's say Godzilla was true and really destroyed Madison Square Garden and the Rangers had to go play in the Coliseum, would our fans fill the Coliseum? Of course they would. We damn near fill it now. We don't give a shit what the arena's like. We just want to support our team and watch the game. You're going to tell me, okay, they build a new arena for the Islanders, and for the first 2 months, yeah, it'll be sold out because there'll be curiosity. There always is. And
right.
Then after that, when it's the same shitty product on the ice, when it's still, oh, look at the great Al Montoya in goal, and oh, here's the great Blake Como, and they're in last place, and they're 16, 38, and 10. And you know what? They'll have the same 3,000 people in the stands showing up for bobblehead night and stick night and gun night and cupcake night, crack night, and whatever night they want to throw out there. The fans, they don't care that team anymore. I'm telling you.
I don't see it.
The Islanders had a team-sponsored meetup last week, end-of-the-season type thing. You know how many people showed up?
How many?
50. 50 people.
You mean the whole team was there?
I don't know. I don't know who was there. I know there were players there. It was a team sponsor. It was sponsored by the Islanders because you know who put it on the Twitter. Because she works for the Islanders now. She's their official Twitterer. And they had 50 people show up. You and I threw a party in a bar 2 months ago, and we had more people there than that. We threw a party in a bar to go sit in a bar in New York City and watch the game. Most of the people traveled at least 45 minutes to get there, and we had more than 50 people.
They don't care about that team anymore. Wow. That's pretty sad. Now, I just wanted to say, with Columbus, you know, losing all that money going way back, and all this and these other teams, I firmly believe with every ounce of my being that the NHL is a house of cards, that they are just sweeping all this stuff under the rug. They don't want to let anybody know how bad it is. I guarantee there are probably four or five teams in this league that are completely insolvent.
Well,
and also something very important.
This is very important. Open my pants.
Jeez. Sorry. I don't know what that is. Now the city of Glendale, they came up with they extended the Coyotes another year while they try and work out the ownership problems out here. Okay, so the Coyotes aren't going anywhere until at least next season. But now the Thrashers have moved to the big burner, and everybody's talking about how this group True North Holdings, I think they're called, up in Winnipeg. They're trying to now. Apparently, they are in the process of trying to work out a deal where they will buy the team and move them to Winnipeg for the 2011-2012 season. Now it's May. What's today? Today's May 15th, May 16th, right? The regular season, the 2011-2012 season, is less than 5 months away, right? 4.5 months. Training camp is 3.5 months away. What other sport would move a team, would even think about moving a team 4 months before a new season? I mean, they got no tickets sold. They got nothing. But the NHL, they don't care. It's such a – I mean, you said it before. It's a third-rate league. It really is.
It really is. It's like the major indoor soccer league was. You know, I mean, I'm surprised the St. Louis Steamers aren't here and the New York Arrows and Steve's Jungle. It really is not like any other league. It's smoke and mirrors. I mean, it's a great sport and we love it and everything, but come on. Just cut bait with these teams and these that just don't draw. And we've made this case with the Islanders. The Islanders don't deserve a team. Nobody's interested in them in New York. Do they get that? How much does Chairman Wang have to lose every year? And how much are the Columbus Blue Jackets, who I think have one playoff appearance in their history, how much are they going to lose? The Coyotes are an abomination. The Preds, who were successful you know, hockey, just that's not a hockey town. The Thrashers are really bad off. And you're not even talking about, you know, I'm sure that the Devils are probably not even in the best financial situation. And probably a host of other teams that are based north in North, actually in United States. You know, Dallas is having financial problems now.
The Panthers.
The Panthers.
I mean, you know, the Panthers will draw a crowd when they have Canadian teams come to play because there's a lot of Canadians down there, a lot of snowbirds. When the Rangers come to play, obviously, Flyers, Boston, any of the Northeast teams, they'll draw for that. But other than that, they're not doing much more than 11, 12,000 a night, if that. They haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. So, you know, I think 5 years from now, I think this league is going to look a lot different. A lot different.
But it seems to me that they're so stubborn in admitting that they made a mistake. I know it was a gigantic money grab to take that expansion money, whatever they paid, you know, that the owners got to dole up with the new teams. But you're seeing, I just feel like they're concentrating on Phoenix right now as the, you know, the albatross of the league. But I feel there's probably 5, 6, 7 albatrosses out there that aren't getting any press. You know, and now you're hearing Columbus, which they're losing their arena, I think, and I don't know if they have a place to play.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. I completely forgot to mention that about the Blue Jackets. Let me see if this is in this story. Wait, you got to hear this. Their deal with their arena. I mean, it's got to be the worst deal in the league. Let me see if I can. According to NFL NHL sources, I'm just trying to. It doesn't say in this article, but they pay rent to the arena. They don't get anything from the naming rights. They don't get any cut of the parking. I don't think they get a cut of the concessions. I mean, I can't imagine any other team in the league has this kind of deal with their arena. I mean, it's horrible.
Alphonse D'Amato has screwed them over big time. Yeah, the only one I could think of that could I don't know all the personals of every team, but the Islanders got a pretty bad deal too. But the Blue Jackets are a newer team.
Here it is. Because the Blue Jackets didn't average 14,000 fans per game, didn't match the NHL's revenue growth rate, they will lose 25% of their revenue sharing check from the NHL. It would have been $16 million, perhaps more. And now they anticipate 12 to 13. The Blue Jackets have been trying for at least 2 years to find a solution to the lease they say is out of line with others in pro sports. The Blue Jackets do not get parking revenue, naming rights revenue, or some luxury box revenue per their agreement with Nationwide. They claim losses of $12 million per season because of these shortcomings. Could you imagine? They don't even get – they're selling the luxury boxes and they don't even get a piece of that?
That's ridiculous.
It's absurd. Who's the bonehead that signed this deal? Did we need hockey that bad in Columbus, Ohio, that they had to have it at all costs and sign this deal? Who signed it? Did Glenn Sather sign this deal? Jeez. So, I mean, I think, you know, we don't want to get too far off Ranger topic here, but I just think 5 years from now, I think this league looks drastically different. Probably a couple of teams shorter, and I think hockey out of South Florida, maybe definitely out of Atlanta, probably out of Phoenix. Nashville might be another contender.
Well, I said, how about for Rick Nash? We get him a new arena. Dolan doled out for a new arena for Rick Nash and Chad Kolarik.
There you go. And we could just build him like a bubble with an ice rink inside it, right? How much could that cost? $1 million?
Yeah. The Kolarik intake.
We'll give him
played for the Blue Jackets, I think, a couple games.
Yeah. We'll give them the Wallman rink. They can have it.
we
deliver. All right. You ready to go back to the phones?
Yeah, sure.
We're actually almost done here, but we'll 347-894. Is this Rock?
Yes, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi, Rock. How you doing?
Good. Good stuff tonight, guys. So many different topics. I kind of had an idea what I wanted to talk about, and we kind of now I'm all over the place. I'm kind of lost.
Oh, yeah. We've been all over the place tonight.
But that's good, though. It's a lot to talk about.
It's a potpourri.
I know, definitely. Considering I'm dying for Ranger hockey right now, and it's only May, it's good that you guys do this, and I know everybody appreciates it. So thank you again.
Oh, no problem.
Glad to do it.
Listen, if Rick Nash, if the Rangers get Rick Nash out of Columbus, they should just fold up that team tonight. I mean, they shouldn't even bother stepping on the ice. They should just forfeit the season.
Well, they still got Fedder too.
I'm sorry, Eddie. I'm sorry, Jimmy.
I said they still have Fedder Tootin', wouldn't they?
Why are Ranger fans obsessed with getting him back? You ever notice that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I thought he was a good defenseman, but I'm kind of over that at this point. I'm kind of past that. Very few times do guys come back and play better. But I was looking at the free agent list for this summer, and we have a very good opportunity to actually, if we wanted to, go back and repeat the summer of 2008, because Pat Riss-Miller, Aaron Voros, Nick Zhirdev, Paul Mara, Jason Strudwick are all free agents.
Oh,
so
perfect.
If there's an opportunity out there, there's a chance.
New York Rangers have agreed to terms with Aaron Voros, Patrick Riss-Miller, Steve Valiquette, Michael Roosevelt, and Wade Redden.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Let's go, Rangers.
Rangers.
There's that option if we need it. But I know we touched on Bugar the other night on the show, and just to kind of wrap him up, it's unfair. First of all, George Larocque's an idiot. I mean, first of all, Montreal bought him out. He's not even playing in the NHL. He is a waste of a hockey player. He absolutely has no talent. And, you know, to Tortorella's defense, I don't know if Bugar would have played in the playoffs anyway. I mean, the team needed to win down the stretch. And to have him in the lineup to play 5-10 minutes a night, what would be the point of doing that anyway? So, you know, I'm not condoning if Tortorella, the way maybe Tortorella might have handled him, might not have been the right way. That being said, he needed to win games. And I don't know from the 22 games I saw Derek Bugard play, I don't know if he was the best player to play down the stretch. I mean, I don't know. He might have been better than some of the guys they brought up if he would have been healthy when they had all the injuries. That being said, he wasn't available. So I don't take anything George Larocque says seriously. So as far as that's concerned, that to me, that's a non-factor.
Exactly.
You know, like I said, 28 years old. Life's, you know, a tough loss. A young guy like that, a young, healthy guy like that, like we said the other night, we hope that it wasn't something drug-related. You know, there's really no good way of wording it. So from that perspective, you know, rest in peace, Bugard, and, you know, I hope in the future, if it is brain-related, that they figure out something to rectify that problem.
Agreed.
I have to be honest, and I actually feel bad saying this, but a couple of days, like the day after, I actually went on Cap Geek, and that's what made me look at the free agent list. And you know, Sather again this off season, he can't. I mean, he's gotten out of these mistakes, and this is the worst way to get out of a mistake.
Do you want to hear something
funny?
Can't
make this mistake again.
Do you want to? Well, this isn't funny, but it's. Funny in an ironic kind of way. Back in hold on, I'm trying to find the story actually. I think it was back in January or February. Lori Carr from Beyond the Blue Shirts wrote an article, and she has posting rights on Blue Shirt Banner, and she wrote an article. It had I don't even remember at this point the gist of what the article was, but the title of the article was, "Has Glenn Sather found a way out of Bugard's contract?" Right?
Yeah.
Now today, I was at work, and I Googled Derek Bougard just to see if there was any new news, you know, as far as the autopsy or whatever, you know, stuff I should put on Blue Shirt Banner. And whatever, I don't remember exactly what I typed in that I Googled, but that was one of the first stories that came up on Google, was our story from Blue Shirt Banner that says, has Glenn Sather found? And I was like, oh my God, I forgot all about that. And I'm like, anybody that sees this is just going to be like, what the fuck were these guys doing? Hopefully they'll click on it and see that the date on the article was, you know, back in February or something. But it was just, I was like,
That's definitely irony. Wow. Yeah, I know. Like I said, I mean, he figured out a way to get out from underneath Brashear's contract. This team does not need, if Brandon Prust can hold his own, they don't need another guy like that. I mean, hopefully Boyle drops the gloves a little bit more. Sauer seems to be a little much of a tough guy. They can't. This team, who especially a team that can't score, cannot afford to carry a guy. Can't afford to carry a guy like that. You know, and like I said, in all due respect to him. What was that?
The Rangers. You need team toughness, and I think the Rangers stood up for each other last year. And you'd like to have another guy who can fight and play like Prust, because Prust really took a lot of. I mean, he took everybody on. He's got to be more choosy and just sometimes back down. I know he's a goer and he gives it his all, but he needs to – you saw how bad with the shoulder and all that stuff going on. So, no, I think the days – if you're a serious team, days of the enforcer are over. If you're a serious team that wants to go far in the playoffs, all I heard was from Ricky O, oh, this team is going to be tough. Oh, the Islanders got goons. Oh, the Flyers got goons. Pittsburgh's tough. They got – when it comes down to it, it's just, you know, it's regular season garbage. It's not – now, it doesn't determine you're a winner or, you know, it's a non-factor. It's a total non-factor in this day and age.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I mean, you know, it's an occasion, you know, you want to mix it up with the Islanders as a kind of a sideshow, you know, whatever. But other than that, it really serves no purpose as far as
I'm concerned. If you look at the four teams that are in the semifinals right now, maybe San Jose has Jamal Mayers playing. He can actually play a little bit, but they're really any of these four teams don't have that guy that just fights, that really has no other strong hockey sense or hockey talent. And to me, that type of player is becoming a dinosaur in the NHL, and they can't afford to carry. And again, a team that has trouble scoring goals cannot afford to carry a guy that's going to play 3, 5, 10 minutes a night, and is just there to fight.
And as far as you scouring the free agent market, I've already told you what the Rangers will end up with. It will be Alex Tanguay and James Wisniewski.
Well, I read today, Jay Feaster got the interim tag taken off his quote-unquote, I guess, GM. He's now the GM of the Calgary Flames.
Right.
He signed Glenn Cross to a ridiculous contract. I thought it was ridiculous what they're paying him. 4 years at $10 million, which I think is ridiculous for that guy. But he actually mentioned that they're trying to actually sign Tanguay right now. So, Eddie, you know, you were right with Hey Duke. And Hayduk signed with the Avalanche, so it's a pretty good chance that Tanguay is definitely not going to be a Ranger now.
No hedge duck.
No hedge duck. So, all right. So at least the guys I'm mentioning are getting signed, so maybe we'll get somebody good.
Maybe.
You know, if I go through all the bums. But I actually am now holding my breath of Fettitude now.
Fettitude-less.
Did you guys see the contract that Michael Grabner got?
He got five years, right?
Dude, now, Grabner's now had a 30-goal season. Now, granted, it was 1 year.
That's a great contract.
It's a great contract for the Islanders, because now if I'm Brandon Dubinsky, I'm a little bit annoyed about that contract.
Yeah.
Because I think his average salary is maybe a little over $3 million. So, you know, here's a guy, I don't know what Grabner's assists were or his points. I know he scored 30 goals. I look at that and I go, oh, man, this guy just sold me up the river. because let's be honest, Dubinsky hasn't reached a 30-goal plateau. So, I mean, from that perspective, that might have helped them, especially if they go to arbitration to turn around and say, well, Michael Grabner's making this, and he's had a 30-goal season. You know,
right.
What have you done?
Yeah,
so from that perspective,
from
that contract might actually help the Rangers.
Yeah, well, you know what? Grabner ain't too smart to begin with.
He broke
the news on Twitter. I am happy to announce that I will be an Islander for the next 5 years. New building, new contract, and new baby.
Oh,
what a great year. Who the fuck's happy to announce they're going to be an Islander for the next 5 years? John Tavares is trying to tunnel his way out of that building. He can't get out of there fast enough. He's digging his way out behind a Rita Hayworth poster like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank. Meanwhile, Michael Grabner's tweeting that he's happy to be there. Come on.
Yeah.
All that Wanger money.
Oh, just to give you another insight with the Nassau County has to vote. The taxpayers of Nassau County have to vote. There's going to be a vote on August 1st whether to approve the new arena, because it's not going to be funded by Mr. Wang. It's going to be funded by the Nassau County residents, so it's going to be an assessment to their taxes over a certain amount of time frame. Personally, excuse me, I think that's wrong. So that might not get approved, so they might not be getting a new building.
You're right. You smoking those cigars again, Rock?
No, I got some allergies or some other issues. Oh. I wish.
I wanted to say to fit out with the other thing. I bet you, and now they're gonna have another high pick again. They're gonna have a line of draft picks going through that tunnel, Jimmy. It'll be like him. It'll be a conga line with him, Nito Ryder, and whoever they pick in the next draft.
And then we get Morgan Freeman to announce it. Was it Nino Niederreiter crawled 500 yards through a river of shit and came out clean on the other side? Nino Niederreiter.
Let's get busy living and
get busy dying.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I thought that. But for the Islanders, that was an awesome signing. I mean, I know the kid, like you said, he only had 1 year, but from all of he didn't even play on their top line, the supposed top line. So, you know, that gives them. I think Vancouver and, you know, I think it was Florida too who had him and let him go.
Florida put him on waivers.
Yeah, they got to be kicking their heads. 30 goal scorers are not the, you know. They don't fall off trees here.
And how Dave Talon still has a job after what he did with Chicago. And the reason that team had to dismantle their whole franchise is because he dropped the ball with the qualifying offers. And how he got another job is beyond me. So, I mean, I guess that's another story for another day.
Yeah, and I really – and the Flyers are kind of in that situation too. I mean, you know, I don't want to extend the program until Wednesday, but – I mean, on Tuesday, because I forgot today was Monday. But, you know.
Sorry, we like being on Tuesdays.
Yeah. The Flyers are another team where they've locked up a lot of money with the core players, and they don't have a lot of movement now. And you're seeing this happen with teams that really go for it, but then can't do it. Now, Chicago did get a cup. But, you know, I always worry, and even the Devils, they have so much money invested in Kovalchuk. I mean, to be limited, that's why I know it sounds insane, it'll never happen, but the Rangers, God willing, will be cap prudent and stop with the long-term deals, other than if it's Brad Richards. That's the end.
Eddie, I can't agree with you more. To me, it's Brad Richards, or they should just stay the course and maybe bring in a couple of guys on one-year contracts to get them through to the following season where they have, you know, all these guys off the books. That's just my opinion. I mean, we're going to know more, like I said, between June 15th and June 30th. And I just hope Chris Drury doesn't come around and say his knee's still bothering him and he's going to need knee surgery so we can't buy him out. But, that to me, it's Brad Richards, or you stay the course and you hope that somebody like a Rick Nash or a Paul Stastny or somebody becomes available. The only problem is teams always seem to hold the Rangers up for a King's ransom. And they know they can. And I remember one trading deadline when Neil Smith was trying to get Kirk Muller from Toronto, and they insisted on a number one pick. They wound up trading him to the Florida Panthers for some scrub-ass prospect that I don't remember his name anymore. But they wanted a number one pick from the Rangers. This is when you actually got news about the Rangers, like trades they were looking to make.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The beat writers actually had an idea of what was going on and not out of left field. And I remember that vividly.
That's before the Rangers became the Al Jazeera network.
Right. Now, what I wanted to ask you guys is, now that they're talking about doing the Winter Classic, which I'm all for, but now this team is going to Sweden, too. And do you think it's just a little too much to put all this on one season, to have them going overseas and then playing in a Winter Classic to boot all in one season? I love the idea of both, and don't get me wrong, but wouldn't it make more sense to separate that?
It is a lot of distractions.
Yeah. But wait, it's not like the Rangers will be distracted. I don't know. I guess for a good team it could be a distraction. We're gonna go wildly off course from our winning ways. You know, but I know what you're saying. It is a lot for a team to travel. But apparently these guys could play 900 games. I'm still McDonough. Is he still playing, these guys? McDonough's the pot? I mean, really?
Hey, listen, when you're 21 years old, you should be able to play 100 games a year. You know?
I know. But, guys, I want you to want you to get hurt. You know our luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some good points, Rock. I think you added much to this podcast.
I appreciate it.
As you always do.
Thank you.
I must go now and do some sit-ups, some jumping jacks, perhaps.
All right, Rock. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good night. I'll talk to you guys next week. Be good.
All right. All right. Now, before we go, since technically this was supposed to be an hour and a half show and we ran late. We're actually still live, but we'll just end the show early. You want to? Are you doing the cars?
Is that on for
tomorrow night?
Yeah, that's on tomorrow night. That's a go project, brother.
Am I joining you for that?
Well, you can if you want. I mean,
I didn't know. I didn't know if that was you had said something about it the other day. I didn't know if that was a solo project. You know, sometimes Daryl Hall likes to work without Oates. You know what I mean?
I like to do a lot myself, but I'm sure that at a point I could bring you in. I didn't know because you're busy. You've got a family and everything. I didn't know, I know you love doing radio with me, but I didn't know if it was a subject that you could be enthused about or even care about.
I'll be hanging out, and I'll tell you what, I'll be hanging out in the chat room, and I'll be there if you need me.
Well, you know I'll need you because...
Aw.
Like, peanut butter needs its jelly. Like Lawrence Taylor needs cocaine and underage hookers. What? Sorry.
What time does that begin?
Start?
Yes,
it'll
sir.
Be on. It'll be, what is it? 9 p.m., I think.
9 p.m.
9 p.m., yeah. The cars, we're talking about their tour, the good, the bad. The Ugly, Rick Ocasek, and the album, which is fantastic. And you'll see a crossover of my fans. My fans of the other side of me. And then next week I'm going to do a show with Esty, my physical, my personal trainer. tell you all my exploits in the gym. I told him that, I said, I know I'm in good shape right now, but I need to kind of improve. You know, summer's coming up, I want to look good at the beach.
Did you tell him, I just want to lose that last 5 pounds?
Yeah, I should have said that. I can't get over the hump. I need to lose 5 pounds. I've tried everything.
And then you should, just to see the look on his face. I'm just trying to drop this last 5 pounds since the baby.
Since the baby.
And then, all right, so tomorrow night, the Cars. That's at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
And that's on the Ranger Crisis page, I assume, right?
Right.
Or are you doing it on this page?
No, I got it set up on my Ranger Crisis thing.
Okay, so that's on. All right, so if you make sure you check out Eddie on Facebook, you'll have the address. The,
yeah,
the
it's
going to
be a different chat room, the whole spiel.
The whole bit.
The whole bit. I've confirmed Leslie Treff for June 13th to talk about everything Ranger prospect in more depth. You know, Russ Cohen only giving us 15, 20 minutes. What is he, some kind of celebrity? He's doing like a guest spot on Johnny, I Have to Go Now.
No, it was last minute. It was last minute. It was last minute. Look at him.
I was
He's
too
busy.
Nice to you this time. Guys, I appreciate you coming out, man. And, you know, it's, you know, kind of a somber show. Well, we did manage to have a little bit of fun down the road.
Yeah.
But,
all right, so we got the Cars. We got the Cars thing tomorrow night, and then we want to do the thing again Friday night. We'll try that again.
Why not? I can't get enough internet radio.
We'll try and get that disaster off the ground again. All right, then Friday night, 10 o'clock, the No Name Show. We'll be back, and then next week we'll do Blue Shirt Banner Radio again for you guys. I don't know, maybe Monday, Tuesday, maybe every night next week. I don't know.
Yeah.
Five
Take
nights.
Take care, everybody.
Good night, everybody. All right, end the show. Yes, sir. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Take care.
You too.